Let us bow. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come, Lord, thanking you. Thanking you once more and again for being there while we slumbered and slept last night, waking us up with a touch from you. Praying, O Heavenly Father, that you be with us throughout this worship service of you. Praying that we open our minds and our hearts to you and being able to spread these words to someone who in need of a word from you. Praying, O Heavenly Father, for so many things that you have done throughout our lives, just starting from this morning, giving us air to breathe, sight to see, all the things that we take for granted. Praying, O Heavenly Father, that we can be the children that you really want us to be. Praying, O Heavenly Father, for Thanksgiving, giving us safe passage here. Praying for the ones who are en route here, giving them safe passage. Please, Lord, be with all of us as we go throughout our lives, passing on this word to the ones who need you in their lives. These things we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The morning message is out for justice, out for justice. It'll be coming from Job 31, 5 and 6. It reads, if I have walked with falsehood, or if my foot has hasted to deceit, let me be weighed on honest scale that God may know my integrity. God bless the doers of his word.
Down in Egypt, amid burning, you know that Moses had started for Canaan, and you know that never turn backward, always a sin. Well, it's on to the journey's end, and we're singing those hilltops. So glory now. Oh, my brother. Oh, my sister, won't you come and go in? Well, I am safe on the mountain. I soon shall, you know, those hilltops of glory land and footsteps of Jesus before us. You know that we tread his warnings heed. You know those evil allurements cannot prevail, cause I'm on the upward. Hilltops of glory and now. Ooh, my brother. My sister, won't you come and go with me? Well, I am safe on the mountain. I soon shall, you know, those hilltops of glory. One more time, we're singing those hilltops of glory and now. Oh, my sister, won't you come take a walk with me? Well, I am safe on the mountain. I soon shall, you know, those hilltops of glory land.
Psalm 106, praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare all his praise? Blessed are those who keep justice and who does righteousness at all times. Let me see it. I want to say good morning. Good morning, and whether you're a member of this Franklin family, whether you are a visitor or a virtual guest, I am grateful that you are here today. I really am. Grateful that God has brought us together for yet another opportunity to worship, praise, and fellowship among those of us that be the saints of God. And shortly we go open our Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. And my invitation is for you to join me there, as these verses will serve as the context for today's lesson entitled Out for Justice. That's the book of Ecclesiastes, lesson titled Out for Justice. In the book of Ecclesiastes, you know, we find that life is not always fair like we might expect it to be. In the real world, those who do what is right, they don't always come out on top. In the real world, helpless people and people on the margins, on the edges, on the fringes, sometimes they get pushed around, sometimes they get abused, and sometimes, most oftentimes, they become mistreated as well. The book of Ecclesiastes reminds us that we live in a world that is filled with injustice. There's injustice all around us. There's injustice everywhere. And Solomon has a lot to say about that. We've all grown up in this country reciting these very words. The word says, with liberty and justice for all. But the sad reality is, we don't live in a country where there's justice for all. And we never have. In a broken world full of broken people, we don't have to look long before we can find examples of injustice. I mean, if we lived in a world where there is justice for all, we wouldn't find women doing the same job as a man with the same qualifications, right? And receiving lower pay. But that happens. It happens all the time because we live in a world of injustice where things are often not fair. If we lived in a world where there's justice for all, then the person who works the hardest and contributes the most to the company would always be the one who gets the raise and salary and the promotions. But you and I both know that's not the way it works all the time, because we don't live in a world where there's justice for all and a place where things are always fair. If we lived in a world where there was justice for all, then the rich, guilty people wouldn't get away with their crimes because they can afford a good lawyer. And the poor, innocent people would be thrown in jail because they can't get a lawyer who cares anything about them. If we lived in a world where there's justice for all, then parents of black families would need to have the talk with their children. You know, the one where we have to constantly remind them that when they leave the safety of their homes, you keep your guard up, keep your mouth shut, keep your hands on the wheel, and in most casual encounters, you got to do that with law enforcement. Some people never received that talk from their parents, and they never gave the talk to any of their children because it wasn't necessary to keep them alive and safe. And there are many parents who do need to have the talk with their children, because we don't live in a world where things are always fair, and that's unfortunate. The ecclesiastical writer says that we live in a world that's filled with injustice. And some of those injustices take place on a personal level, and some of those injustices are systemic, and they have been found for years and years to live in the households of many. But deep down, we all recognize that injustice is wrong. We recognize that this is not how it ought to be. And when a person lives with injustices long enough, especially if they lack divine perspective, that person eventually becomes cynical. And if we don't have the faith to get us through these injustices that we live every day of our lives, we live our lives shaking our fists at God, and we say those three words that we say every day in our lives: it isn't fair. It's just not fair. I mean, you remember when your kids were growing up, and many times your kids would say, and even they would say it even today, that's just not fair. She got to stay up longer than I did. It's not fair. He got to go somewhere I didn't get to go. That's just not fair. She got a bigger piece of the cake than I got, so that's not fair. You know, whenever your children said to us, that's not fair, the response we often gave our children was, life's not fair. Life's not fair, so you got to get used to it, right? And that seems to be the same theme of the book of Ecclesiastes. The writer says, Solomon, in Ecclesiastes 3:16, moreover, I saw under the sun, in the place of judgment, wickedness was there. In the place of righteousness, iniquity was there. The New Century Version translates this version. It says, where there should have been justice, there was evil. And where there should have been right, there was wrong. And there's something very, very, very relevant about what Solomon has to say in that statement, because it sounds like something we'd see on the news today. And you would think that people in positions of authority would be the kind of people that you can respect and you can trust. But we've seen so much in the way of corruption, lying, and immorality in our government officials that we become expected so much so that we don't even blush anymore when we hear it. And you wouldn't think. You wouldn't think that the police department might not investigate a stolen vehicle from the home of a senior citizen. I mean, you despise the very thought, right? Because if there's any place where there ought to be justice, it ought to be right there. It ought to be there. And we can't stand to see a courtroom that's marked by a lack of integrity. I read about an attorney who no longer goes to court because of the corruption he's forced to wade through in the courtroom, of the legal games he's expected to play. You see, it's no longer a question of whether a person has a good case. It's more often a question of whether one has enough money to buy the right, to pull the right strings, enough money to play the right game. It's not fair, but that's the way it is. Amen. Ecclesiastes 4:1, the writer says, then I returned and considered all the oppression that is done under the sun. And look, the tears of the oppressed, but they have no comforter. On the side of their oppressors there is power, but they have no comforter. Can you feel the pain in those words? Listen to those words. There is something in us, all of us, that longs for justice in our lives. Nobody's being treated fairly, right? We long for justice in our relationships. We long for justice on our jobs. We long for justice in general. If someone is being oppressed, there ought to be somebody there to comfort them. Did you hear what I said? And where are you? Because somebody is oppressed even at this moment, and you ought to be there for them, but where are you? When someone is being oppressed, there ought to be someone there to comfort them. Someone to help relieve their oppression. Someone to make things right. But that's not the way it is, because it's just not fair, right? Well, Solomon says, sometimes the oppressors, listen to this, sometimes the oppressors are the ones who have all the power. You have little girls being trafficked all through the United States, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 years. I don't care if they're 34. The oppressor has all the power, and it's not fair. That's the way it is, right? Evil abounds everywhere in this world. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 says this. In some places, you'll see poor people mistreated. Don't be surprised when they are not treated fairly or given their rights. One officer is cheated by a higher officer, who in turn is cheated by even a higher officer. The wealth of the country is divided among them all. Even the president even the kings get his share of the profits, right? Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 9. I saw all of this and I considered all that is done here on earth. Sometimes people harm those they, listen to that. Listen to what God says. Sometimes people harm those they control. How are you doing with that? And there it is again. It's abuse of power is what it is. One person is exercising authority at another person's expense. And as though Solomon is saying, my hands are tied. As much as I like to do something about it, there's nothing that I can do, because it's neither right nor is it fair. Think about your children when they go to school. Some are being mistreated by their teachers. Some are being bullied around at school, and And you're not there to make things right. You feel it when you watch the video of George Floyd or Ahmaud Arbery, who was killed in Georgia by two men in a pickup truck. You feel it when you read the statistic of how many women in this country, listen to me, how many women in this country are abused by their husbands and even being abused right now. It's not fair. There's no justice in it. But that's the way it is, right? That's not the way it ought to be. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might make her a beautiful church without spot or blemish. Husband, love them. But it's not fair, right? Because we want to be Christian men and women, and in our homes, we're abusing the very spouse that God gave us. Women, you do it too. I tell you, when I was a little boy. Right there in Gramercy. I saw this woman walk, what we call the back of Gramercy. She had a belt in her hand. Well, no, she didn't have no belt in her hand. She went in the ballroom, got her husband out the ballroom, took the belt off of him, and whipped him all the way home. Abuse. It's not right, but that's the way it is, right? And as if Solomon is saying, life's not fair, get used to it. Because that's the way it's always been. And this is the way it's always going to be. Things will never change. There will never come a time when there's truly justice for everybody. But there's one phrase I want to call your attention to. One phrase I want you to know that's very familiar. And it's going to help us as we look at these injustices in our lives. It's wrapped up in one phrase that appears over and over throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. As a matter of fact, it appears 27 times. And Solomon says these words, things under the sun. That's what he says. And that phrase means, here's what life is like from an earthly perspective, especially when you take God totally out of the picture. He's absolutely right. When you take God out of the picture, life is very depressing. When you take God out of the picture, life is very hopeless. When you take God out of the picture, life is very dark. Dark. Because people just don't do what's right. Talk about that in Bible class. We don't wake up in the morning and say, oh, I'm just going to do what's right. We don't. In fact, it's the exact opposite. We got on our minds that we're going to do what's right, but we're not treating ourselves right as it comes to serving God and respecting our fellow man. When you take God out of the picture, life is very hard under the sun. When you put God back into the picture, suddenly the clouds part and the sun begins to shine through and things look very differently because there is hope in God. There's hope in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, God's Son, is the very anchor of our hope. Because a world where God is in control is a world where there is justice. It's justice. A world where God is in control is a world where there is righteousness. A world where God is in control is a world where there is love. And someday, we're going to enjoy that for all of eternity. But as Christians, as right now, the very here and now, we've been called to help make this world in which we live more of a world where God is in control. Which means that we've got to do everything we can to fill this world with love and righteousness and justice. So as I think back, maybe in hindsight, maybe it's wrong, Brother Chris, to tell your daughter that that's just the way it is and get over it. Maybe I shouldn't have said it to my children, that life's not fair, get used to it. Maybe instead what I should have said was life's not fair, so you do what you can do to change that. How you doing with that? Life isn't fair, so you got to do what you can do to change it. So how do we change it? How do we do that? How do we respond to a world that's filled with injustice? Our ultimate goal is to change our community, to make the place in which we live a place where truly is justice for all, a place where there's no racial discrimination, a place where there's no abuse of power, And there are three steps that we have to do to reach that ultimate goal. The first step starts with, amen? It's individual. We've got to change ourselves. It's long been said over and over again, if you want to change the world, you've got to start with yourself. But we don't want to change for nothing. We don't. We want to go to those people's jobs and they train us to do something this way. We want to do it that way. We don't change for nothing. We court people for 2 and 3 years and we finally get engaged and we get married and we don't want to change for nothing. We don't be vulnerable at all. And all the while we're saying all those, oh, I love you, dear, I love you. No, you don't. We got to change ourselves. Leo Tolstoy, you know what Tolstoy said? Everyone thinks of changing the world, but no one thinks of changing himself. We don't think about that. Only thing we think about changing is maybe our clothes from time to time. And some don't do that. Scripture makes it very clear that we begin by looking within ourselves to see what changes need to be made in the inner man. Changing in our own world. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians 13:5. You examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. You test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you unless indeed you are disqualified? It makes me think of the conversation that Jesus and Peter had in John chapter 21. Jesus says, Peter, I want you to follow me. He says, you're going to eventually die because of your faith in me, but I need you to follow me, Peter. And Peter turns right around. He points to John. He says, what about him, Lord? And Jesus responds. He says, listen, Peter, don't worry about him. You just worry about yourself. You follow me. Follow me. You change yourself, Peter. There's too many people who get in relationships and they want to change the other person. You can't change anybody, but you could change yourself. Just follow Christ. Can't change me. It took a while for me to be where I'm at even right now. Everybody goes through things in their relationships and it's going to take a while. Am I right? Some people need counseling. You do. Some people just need to be separated. Some should have never got married. All right? Because you can't change anybody at all. You can't. But if you start with yourself, you can change yourself. Just follow Christ. It's just so tempting to look around and see everything wrong with everyone else. It's tempting to look around and see everything wrong everybody else is doing. We can see that, but we can't ever see what we're doing wrong, right? Why somebody got to tell us? Why we can't just say, well, you know what, I'm wrong. Somebody got to tell us all the time. Like a little child, well, you know you shouldn't have did that. But here's the perspective. The child already knows they shouldn't have did it. But they did it because they're a disobedient child, and that's the same reason we do things in the presence of God. We know what we ought to be doing. So why has somebody got to come and tell us? Cut it out. It's easy to point fingers. It's easy to make accusations. And I'm going to tell you, you can be honest as could be. You don't have to look very far to find it. But the first step must always be to look into your own lives. Look into your own hearts and make any changes that need to be made in you. Need to be made in us. It's foolish for us to try to change the nation if God can't even change our heart. I truly believe that change will never take place without understanding. And understanding will never take place without conversation. People ain't talking no more, right? It's very difficult for us to follow the command of Paul to mourn with those who mourn if we don't even understand the reason they're mourning in the first place. You got to sit down with somebody and get to know them and find out what they need and if you can help them in that capacity. If not, somebody else got to send there to help them. Right? But there needs to be more conversation, more fellowship, need more friendship more of a relationship with God. We need to get to know each other better than what we do as a church. And how are we doing with that? How many people on this side know people on that side, and this side know that? Second thing, we got to be inclusive of our family. That's what we got to be. We need to take our godly Christian values and pass them on to our children. We've got to do that. Let me tell you something. I was blessed to grow up in this female-dominated household without blatant racism. I was. It just wasn't taught in that house with this one woman and these four children. But some children are not so fortunate. Much of the racism that exists in this country exists because it's been passed down from generation to generation. Hello? And it's not just on the other side, it's on your side too, because you've got a lot of it in you. So they come up with all these political words of reverse racism. Nah, it is what it is, and you've got some of it in you. I've got some bias in me. I used to be mad at my mom every day of my life when she cooked sauerkraut. Couldn't stand it. Made me eat it though. But she can't do that now. Right? Everybody's got some bias in them that they ought to admit. Surrender their lives to God so that God can get that away from their lives. And stop teaching it to their children. Stop passing it down from generation to generation. We may not be able to change what has been passed down to us, but we can absolutely change what gets passed down to our children and our grandchildren. We're looking for a better world. We're looking for justice, right? Moses says, listen, I command you today that this shall be on your heart. He said, teach your children diligently. When you talk to them, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you get up, teach them. Teach them the justice of God. And we can't expect our children to think nothing differently or to act differently from the world if they're not hearing anything different from you or even in the household. If there's not a righteous value system, if there's no justice at home, we can't expect our children to be any different. Your children can't help that they look like it, but if you're a fool, they don't have to act like it. Listen, it's not what you say. It's what you do. It's not who you are. Listen to me. It's what you do. Because actions speak louder than words. We've got to show our children how to connect with people different than yourself. And connecting with families that are different than you. We've got to find some families that are different from ourselves. We got to come out of our closet, and we got to help other families that's worse off than we are. But we're not looking to do that. We need seeds of family inclusion so that we can harvest justice in our lives. We've got to be able to harvest justice. Here's the third one. Got the shovel out because we're digging deep with this one. We need justice in the church. Out now. We need justice in the church. We wouldn't have a racial crisis in America if the church had not failed to deal with that sin of racism. Hello? And because we pass it off, or we've ignored it, and in some cases we even promoted it, the bottom line is we still have division in our culture and in the church. Hello? We got it. So don't expect God to fix the White House if we can't even change the church house. Paul said to the church in Galatia, and he's speaking to us today, I need you to hear me. He says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We all the same thing. Right? Let me tell you that story about the Japanese. I told you that before, right? That this Japanese man selling peanuts in America, and he had this American man selling peanuts. The American man was walking along and said, peanuts, peanuts, get your peanuts here. Japanese man couldn't speak English, you know what he said? I got the same thing. In the church, we ought to all have the same thing. Right? There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, there's neither male nor female. We all the same thing. We one in Christ Jesus. Can you hear me? We sell the same thing. And unlike those two men, we're not selling peanuts. We're selling salvation. We're looking after the souls of men. And however it's communicated to them, we've got to get it out there. And we have to separate ourselves from this world. But I want to tell you, even if Christians agree with what Paul said, that there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female. Even if we agree with what Paul said, the reality is that most churches don't put what he said into practice. What you saying to me, Brother Collins? Here it is right here. Let me block it off for you. It was Martin Luther King Jr., you know what he said? We must face the fact that in America, the church is still the most segregated major institution in America. At 11 o'clock on Sunday morning when we stand and sing, we stand at the most segregated hour in this nation. Hello? How you doing with that? That was in 1963. Here it is, 62 years later. How much have things changed? Amen. We got to start with ourselves, right? 62 years later, we still banging out the same old tune. Oh, how I love Jesus, but I don't want you to sit beside me. Oh, how I love Jesus, but I don't want to be. We ain't saying about sauerkraut. Most churches in this country are still not ethnically diverse. Why? Is it because of you? And even sadder is the fact that in a recent poll of Christians, listen to me, we out for justice, right? We all want to go to heaven, right? In this poll, only 40% of Christians said they would like to see their church become more diverse. 40%, not even half. And one-third, 33%, they strongly disagreed that their church needed to bring more people in that didn't look like them. Oh, how I love Jesus. What color is God? For God is a spirit, knows the worshipers, worship in spirit and truth. What color is love? What color is peace? What color is joy? You ever tried to color patience? Those of us who are called of God need to change our hearts and our minds as a church. Because with these eyes and these hearts, we color too many things. Got a hard time remembering, don't we? Paul said to the church in Ephesus in chapter 2, therefore remember that you were once Gentiles in the flesh. You were of the uncircumcision by what is called circumcision made by the flesh of hands, that at all times you were without Christ. You were without Christ. Remember that. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were running from ICE. Strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now, I need you to remember what you used to be and how you used. Now, in Christ Jesus, you who are once far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. A lot of people got problems with red blood, don't they? They don't want their blood to be red. We don't bleed the same color, don't we? Well, nah. I'm so glad that we stain with the blood of Jesus Christ. And we remember where we used to be and what we used to do, what we used to sin, how we used to live, and we change that. If you haven't changed it, are you going to heaven? You want to go? What color is heaven? Isaiah says we got to wash ourselves. We got to make ourselves clean. We got to put away evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke those who are the oppressors that have the upper hand. Defend the fathers. There are people that are fatherless and there are widows out there. We just ain't treating them right. And we got the capability to do that. But do we even care to do that? The truth is, we live in a world that's filled with injustice. And either we can sit along with Solomon, life's not fair, just get used to it, or we can sit along with Isaiah, life's not fair, let's do everything we can do to change that. Change that. My wife had this sign up in our daughter's room growing up, and she says, where there's no path, you go and make one. Let me make one. We got to come out of our own shells. We got to come out of our own closets and stop pretending that we love God. Because if you don't love your fellow man sitting beside you, he says, you don't love me either. So stop the facade. Stop pretending that you love God when you can't even sit beside me. Can't speak to me. Can't love me. Can't respect me. Life's not fair. And I don't want you to get over it. I want you to do everything you can do to change it. Because the ecclesiastical writer says, we find that life is not always fair like we might expect it to be. But our God has promised a time. A time is coming. A time, as the prophet Amos says, that justice is going to flow down like a river. It's coming. And goodness is going to flow like a never-ending stream. We are going to be just inundated with justice. Inundated with goodness that comes from God. And life under the sun, under the S-O-N, would be a blessing for every last one of us. Because indeed, we are the people of God. We are in Christ. And there's no difference in you or me. We are spiritual beings in God's eyes. So stop letting your mind and your heart push you over the edge for evil. Because there's not one of us in here that's better than the other one. Not one. And if you think so, you're going to find sooner or later that God will humble you. He will knock you right down off your high horse. Where are you today? In your pursuit of justice? Are you meeting out justice as well in your own lives? Or are you just as unfair as you can be? Some people really don't care about fairness. Some people don't care about justice. They don't. They look at this world and that's just the way it's got to be. But now God didn't say that. God says, for you were called to be holy because I am holy. You be holy because I'm holy. Meet out justice and mercy and sacrifice. Give it out because we've got it to give. Give that gospel of truth. And more than anything else, I want you to understand that you can't give anything to God or nobody else until you give yourself. Got to give it. And a lot of things we got buried. Got to get the shovel out. Talk to God. Let's uncover them. Let God save you from your sins. Let him save you from yourself. There's a lot of things that we've got buried, even from our childhood, from our culture. When we look at the church, we see that God says in Ephesians 1 that there's one Lord, one God, one body, one spirit, one faith. There's only one God. But then we look out in the world and there's 1,000 churches, 1,000 people trying to praise God the way they want to praise him. Let me tell you something. Those two boys who lit that strange fire, you couldn't praise God the way they wanted to praise him. He killed him on the spot. He says, I want you to worship me in spirit and in truth. This is how we ought to worship God. Not the way that Martin Luther says to worship. Not the way that Mary Baker Eddy says to worship. John Calvin. Boniface III from the Catholic Church. John Smith from the Baptist Church. Everybody want to, that's injustice when it comes. You're treating God unjustly because he says, I only have one son and I need you to listen to him. On the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, Jesus said this. He took Moses, Peter, John up to a hill and he was transfigured before them. And Peter says, Lord, it's good for us to be here if thou will. Let us make three tabernacles. Let us make three churches, he said. And God said, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. So what I'm saying to you is if you want justice, if you want what's in God's word, if there's going to be more than one church, it would have only been three. It would have been one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Christ. Go look it up. But God stepped in there with the justice that he knows, and he says, nope, none of that. The church that's going to be established is going to be for my son, and it's only going to be one. Now, how many are you dealing with? And the life that you live, the life that you present before me, it ought to be one of the same thing. We ought to have the same mind as Christ Jesus. One mind, one heart, one salvation, one love. How you doing with that? Yeah, our lives are filled with injustices. And most of the time, our lives are filled with the injustices that we bring upon ourselves. We know what's right to do. Why don't we just do it? We've been out there in the world hustling with sin for a long time. Why don't you give God a chance now? Aren't you just tired of that same old, getting nowhere? Because that's what you're getting. You're getting nowhere, and you're getting treated like a dog out there in the world. Jesus Christ, God's Son, is our Savior. He calls us to hear his word. And I'm going to tell you, when you hear it, that means he calls you to hear it and understand it and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the true and living God. He calls you to believe that. But too many of us are too proud we believe what we want to believe because that's just the way we was brought up. Let me tell you something. If you don't change because of the way you was brought up and listen to what Christ told you to do, he says, you got to get, you're going to get rid of me in the day of judgment. I don't know you. You're going to bust hell wide open. Growing up the same way you grew up with the same culture you grew up with, and not adhering to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bust hell wide open. I just got to tell you that. We got to repent of our sins. We asked in Bible class, how many people like to say they're sorry? No, because it comes from your gut. We don't want to do that. When we repent of our sins, we are godly sorrowful for what we've done. We've sinned against God and God only. And we ask God to forgive us of our sins. And we find ourselves, because of faith, walking in the water grave of baptism. Right? For as many of you as have been baptized in Christ have put on Christ. We're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Not in what you want to believe. Faith in Christ Jesus. You're baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. You become a member of the church that he purchased with his own blood. And that was the only one the Bible talks about. Where you find all these others at? It's just not in there. That's too much injustice that you're giving yourself. One more thing I'm going to say to you before we stand and sing. If whatever it is that you believe, first of all, I know everybody says they believe in God. But if you believe in God, then God's word has to be believed as well. And if it's not in the book, take a second look at it. Because that's what you're putting in there. Peter says, the scriptures is of no private interpretation. So you can't get out of it what you want, and I can't get out of it what I want. That's injustice to God. You know, we'll be the first ones to be mad if somebody misquote us. Why are you lying on me? Why are you telling people I said that? I didn't say that. This is what I said. But we fiddle with God that way. I don't think that's what God said. What do you mean you don't think? That's the problem right there. It's about faith and understanding. It's about teaching. It's about the gospel. Jesus Christ, he died, was buried, and was resurrected from the dead, and he appeared to 500 people, the Bible says. Now you can believe that or you don't have to believe that. Do what you want with it. Christ purchased the church, singular word, with his own blood. You can believe that or you don't have to believe that. And what I want you to do, when it comes to justice in God's word, you go find your church in there. And if it's in there, then you stay where you're at. But if it's not, you're doing yourself a grave injustice, because you're going to bust hell wide open if you don't change. God calls us to salvation. Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no other name, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which they must be saved. No other. What part of that don't you understand? No other name, no other body, no other. We can help one stand while we come and sing the invitation song. Wow.